This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
At the UPS store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parent in Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or, hopefully, how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice, and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because, let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, and welcome to Parent in Hell with... What's the preamble?
That is him saying his name, Rob, which is a famous line from a film. I am Maximus.
He's called Maximus.
He's called Maximus, age 3.
Well, Commander of the Armies of the North, the true...
Do you want to hear it again?
Does he do the full speech?
No,
Maximus Regnus Decimus, commander, the true leader, Marcus Aurelius, all that. Go on, give it to us, Maxie.
I am Maximus Thompson. It is.
I think he says I'm Maximus Thompson.
Maximus?
Is it Tyson? I think it's Tyson.
It can't be Thompson.
Either way.
You can't be going Maximus into Thompson, can you?
No,
Maximus Thompson. It sounds like an insurance policy for your holiday. Travel Thompson with the Maximus Thompson. Scared of being trapped with a PCR result? Don't worry. Just take out Maximus Thompson.
You know what? I thought Maximus would provide you a lot of ground, Rob, but I didn't imagine it would be in the holiday insurance area. So
yeah, I mean, I think we've both been... The summer holidays are killing me, if I'm telling you.
Oh, God, how many weeks in are you?
I'm 4 weeks into a 6 stretch. They go back.
Oh, let me just finish this detail.
Oh, sorry, then. Maximus.
Yep. He's 3. He's from Oxfordshire. He's full of energy from the moment he wakes up till the moment he goes to sleep.
Ooh.
And he loves the question why.
Sounds a bit like he's a pain in the ass. No offence, Max.
Yes.
That full of energy. Full of energy. That's the kind of thing at a nursery. How was he today? Full of energy and very strong-willed, knows what he wants.
He is.
I'm sure he's lovely. I'm joking.
He's going to love this. Yeah. He's confident. And knows exactly what he wants.
He's a little shit, and he's called Maximus. What are you creating? That guy is either going to go to prison or rule the world. Good luck to you, Max.
As you can tell from his confident introduction. Thank you so much for the hilarious podcast. It's helped me get through the parenting day-to-day stress.
Yes.
That is from his mum, Hannah.
Hannah.
How are you, Rob?
Yeah, I'm good. A bit tired. It's just been a bit full on and with work and stuff. You must be knackered as well. You're tired at the moment. Paralympics. I know you're filming some overnight stuff. You've done the audiobook. That take ages.
I'll come to the audiobook. I'll come to the Paralympics. Yes, Rob, I will be honest with you. My diary, I've misjudged it. You know all our discussions about how we'd really worked out work-life balance,
yes,
and how we knew what made us happy.
Yeah, and all that stuff. And all that, you know, talking about, you know, Denmark, living Danishly. Do you need to do the overtime? Don't have the new thing. Just be at home more, leisure time,
exactly.
Relax.
Exactly.
And now what you...
You have fucked up massively.
It can't be worse than the Dudley Oxford wedding, Zoe Ball, triple threat.
I've spent a week trying to deal with... So, we'll come to the audio.
What time did you finish work? Like yesterday, you worked yesterday filming. What's up?
Yeah, 5:20 a.m. Rob. And then I got into bed, and my daughter came in at 6:10.
Oh, nuts! 50 minutes sleep.
And because I'd stayed up late working, the adrenaline was such I was just up. I had to listen to a rival podcast to get to sleep, Rob.
What was the rival podcast?
I always listen to John and Ellis to get to sleep because I find them soothing.
That's a backhanded compliment, isn't it?
Well, do you know what? You go in and out of it. And I then slept through the morning and I just left them on.
Yep.
I listened to about 6 episodes all morning.
Nice.
And occasionally you're like, I'd wake up and I'd go, this is good. And then I go back to sleep.
Because it's just chat. Doesn't it feel like they're in bed with you?
And I love it.
So you must be exhausted.
So, Paralympics.
Let's
start with the Paralympic situation, Rob.
The Paralympic situation. You sound like an anchor on GB News. Let's talk about the Paralympic situation.
So, 12 days.
12 days. When does it start? Tuesday,
although tomorrow's rehearsal day, so really.
Right, yeah, we're recording this Sunday afternoon, four o'clock. I like to call the perfect time to create.
Exactly. Everyone else is having family time that we've talked about how it means so much to us.
We're hustling while they're sleeping. Yeah.
Exactly. I was hustling while most people were sleeping last night.
What was it, just loads of encores?
Yeah. 5 a.m. Honestly.
It was an overnight shoot, wasn't it? That's why. What time did you start?
I started at 7 p.m. And the thing was, the adrenaline was such, I just felt sad for the last 2 hours. I know it's a chemical imbalance, but
you don't have to talk about what you're doing.
No, I don't think so.
Well, you know, when I did a similar kind of show.
Yeah.
About Hamleys at Christmas.
Mm.
And that.
Did you feel sad?
I felt really sad. And it finished at 4 or 5 a.m. And I've never been more angry to be in a shop to the point where I cannot go back to Hamleys now.
You've never been more angry to be in a shop?
Yeah, at 4 a.m. after I've been in there for 8 hours overnight. TV people have to make it real. I was like, can't we just pretend it? No.
Can't we just put blackout blinds up, for God's sake?
Well, the fucking shop was shut anyway because it was locked down. We could have done it midday.
Oh, mate.
But we didn't. We stayed there overnight and did it all properly for one night in Hamleys with Tom Allen and Romesh. And I left really tired and sad. But the show was good.
I didn't want to get in the car because I didn't want to be on my own. Do you know what I mean?
Why did you get depressed?
Because
got the invisible driver. Chat to the driver. You fucking.
I did.
I don't want to chat.
How's it going? And he said it's my first job of the day. And I was like, oh, go on, fuck yourself.
Oh, he's had a good sleep, the geezer. Oh, nothing worse than when you're going, like, whether you're working or you've been out all night and it's like 6 a.m. and the other person's had 8 hours sleep and they've just got up. Oh my God, that's horrible. You can't talk to him. You've got nothing. You might as well be from different planets.
Yeah. I was driving back through London. I went past the Scala in King's Cross.
Yeah.
And there was people, revelers, I'd call them, Rob, revelers on the street. And I was just like, these people have been up all night partying.
Yeah.
And they're still having a good time. And here's me sitting, sad, trying to listen to John and Ellis to try and cheer myself up, to give myself some kind of to give myself a warmth of friendship in my ears with a man who's been asleep for 8 hours, having a lovely time in the front.
On his first coffee of the day.
Yeah, and at least I'm going into 12 days of the Paralympics, filming time 10 p.m.
Yeah, so that was Saturday night. Sunday we're recording this. Tomorrow, Monday, is a rehearsal. And then, so basically, it's 13 days in a row of you hosting a live show, essentially.
We're going at midday.
Yeah, you're going at midday.
And we film till 11 p.m. And I'm not going to get to sleep till 1 a.m.
No.
I can't imagine. And currently, my baby, he is waking up at 4 a.m. And when I say waking up, I mean up. He's shitting himself awake.
He's shitting himself awake.
All over his baby grow. So you have to change him. By the time you've changed him, he's up.
He's up. He's ready. He's up. He's driving cabs.
He was doing the 2 a.m. wake-ups. That was fine. But by the time he's on the 4 a.m. wake-ups, that's close enough to the morning that he considers that his proper wake-up. So he's got better at sleeping, but it's a worst-case scenario.
So how much parenting are you planning to do in this period? Is Rose taking a lot of the heat, or have you got, family members to come and help?
We've got someone to come and help because it's just untenable otherwise. I can't do it. I can't do 3 hours sleep a night for 12 days doing a live TV show.
You need some babysitters in or nans and granddads picking the...
We've got a nanny coming in to help on some of the days, and Rose is going away for 2 days.
Okay. Right, she's going away for 2 days.
She's going to visit a friend in Folkestone. with the kids.
Oh, yeah,
she's not leaving me. Yeah, she's not leaving me with the kids.
Jesus Christ. I know we need a break, Rose, but cock, let Josh come on. He's got there will be points where he run out of time. I had you'll literally run out of time to sleep. There'll be no time.
Yeah. Honestly, it's genuinely it's having two kids is now it's like an admin nightmare. Because right, if I had a normal set hours job, you could go, well, what we do each week is this.
That's the hardest thing, I think, not to like world's tiniest violin, but if you don't have a regular schedule, that is what me and Lou find the most difficult thing, because Lou never knows when she's got spare time, and then I can't, and then you get pulled from pillar to post. So having that routine does help, I think, keeping everyone happy.
But every week it's like, so we need someone to help us on the Saturday and the Thursday morning. And do you know what I mean? It's just like this absolute, oh, Rob, what a life.
What a life, Josh.
What a life.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How was the audiobook?
Oh, mate. You're doing yours next week, aren't you?
I do it. And I can't think, no offence, I think I just can't think of anything worse than reading back my own book out loud.
Well, I did yours. And it was.
Dude, but
I was like, I don't remember any of these things happening to me, but I'll put one.
Oh, God.
So, three on the one hand, 3.5 days.
How many words have you got?
It was 80,000.
I think I can bang it out in three.
Yeah.
My book's only 9,000 words. No, Jackie.
I was thinking
970,
like,
I think.
You know, like, we've got the audio book of like Snail and the Whale. What I mean, what's that? 200 words? Like, Imelda Staunton's stealing a fucking living with that, isn't she?
Yeah, it's about time Staunton got a bit of stick. Come on, Imelda.
Stephen Mangan on bloody Mog and Meg. Meg and Mog. What's he doing there? 100 words?
Yeah,
come on, Mango. Put the effort in.
He's getting a day rate for that, isn't he?
But anyway. It's a really interesting experience doing the audiobook.
Is there any parts of yours that are a bit emotional or sad that then reading back made you upset?
Well, I'm emotionally dead, so that was fine. there are bits where obviously I wouldn't say there's anything that was like heartbreaking, but there's bits which are sadder. And actually, do you know what?
Oh.
They're the easiest bits to read, Rob. Because you don't have to put much, you don't have to deliver it as a gag. Do you know what I mean?
So are you doing accents in yours?
Yeah, and the
and impressions of
holiday to China was a real problem. But no, I can't do any accent. It's just something I have no ability to do any accent.
You must be able to
do
a couple of like.
I can't do any accents.
You're right there, Mike.
What's that one? Is that Birmingham? Yeah, but just listen. So I'd go. You're right, mate. Like I can't do it.
I could see you didn't even try. Go right there, Mike.
You're right there, mate. I can't do it.
Okay, good. All right, new
like, it panics me to try and do it.
A can of Fanta.
No, I can't do it. I can't do any accent.
It still really sounds like Josh Widdicombe speaking.
I know. I've got Rob. Yeah. I have no range.
You're aware other people listen to this. Might be a casting director that wants you to be in something. Don't talk yourself out of a job.
Yeah, but, I'm going to tell you now, right? If that person don't. I have no range. I have nothing. I have no range.
You are doing well. You don't even have a disability and you're on the Paralympic coverage.
You think Imelda Staunton's stealing a living? Look at me, mate. I've got nothing.
He's stealing a living off disabled people. That's what Josh Widdicombe does.
There was positives and negatives to it.
Fair enough. Now, I'm looking. I think it'll be fun once again.
I loved doing it in a way.
You haven't done much voiceover, though, have you? Have you done much voiceover?
I was the voice of a talking car in a Churchill advert. Thank you very much, Rob.
Yes, I know, but that's a one. That's like an like 2 hour gig, and then it's done, isn't it? It's not hours. So when I do Celebs Go Dating in a voiceover booth, I've worked out that I've spent 2 full weeks of my life in that box.
Yeah.
Because it's 2.5 hours per show. And they've done like 100 shows or something. I'm sure I'll be fine, but I'm doing that next week.
What I would say about it, Rob, is so I had a lovely time doing it.
Yeah.
I genuinely had a lovely time because, you know how stiff my neck is, Rob.
Oh, yeah.
I am loving everything that is involved with, like, having a book out and feeling like I'm a proper author.
Okay.
So I'm, like, absolutely getting off on this fact that I'm doing an audiobook. Like, okay. Here I bloody am doing my audiobook. Like, Rob, I'm doing a small book tour just because I wanted to do it. Just
are
to
you? Say,
yeah. I was just like,
are you, how much work are you doing?
It was a misjudgment, Rob, but it's too late now. The tickets are available. I'll Instagram them out. There's eight small dates. And I'll be honest with you. Oh, it's me and Ivo as well. So yeah. Ivo Graham's doing it with me, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
It'll be great. It'll be great.
And I'm doing all these things because I was like, this is right. I don't might not get to do this again. And I'm really like the idea of doing it.
No, that's good. It's passion. Yeah.
So I loved doing it, right? But you go fucking insane.
Oh, this is not good for me.
You do not try and do more than an hour. The words don't mean anything.
More than an hour?
Like without having a cup of tea or a break or
a little
something.
Break. All right.
And then you're like, could there be, you know, at least it's just me on my own, you know. It's not like I'm going to be in a booth and then in the next booth there's going to be someone who's going to be, you know, have a much more successful and high-profile book. And then you look across and I was in the next booth to Michael McIntyre, Rob.
Can you see him?
Yeah, we hung out at lunch.
As you're doing it, can you see him? But just silently.
No. There was a wall, but he was in the next room. Yeah, I wasn't looking across, and he was absolutely smashing it.
You have a bigger room. He's smashing it. He's come out for an encore. He's written another chapter.
I hadn't even thought about it. He did have a bigger room, actually, Rob.
Of course he did. He's the boss man, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's a big dog.
And then my voice started going, and because my voice was going, I had to redo the first three chapters to keep the voice uniform, because three chapters sounded like a different person, Rob. Basically, my voice started going. They thought it sounded better, so I had to go back and do the first three chapters again.
Oh, no, I wouldn't do that. I'd just sound different.
It sounds like
That is me. Sorry if it sounds like someone else, but it isn't. That is just what my voice is like, and I'm locked to a chair and forced to read it for 4 days.
Do you know the worst bit, Rob?
What did I... What, the ending? Did you run out of patience writing it?
I got home and I had to read to my daughter. You're like, you've got to be joking, mate. I'm not sitting here and reading. I've been doing this for 6 hours today.
I think that, do you know what? I think the audiobook could go one or two ways for people, but it's definitely worth a buy because I'll either just be going for it or just livid.
I can't wait to find out what you think of doing an audiobook because I'll be honest with you. Yeah. It is a game of patience.
That is not my game.
It's a game of patience.
That's not my game at all. Oh, God. Anyway, we should probably talk about kids, shouldn't we, for a bit?
Yeah, sorry.
Parents.
Sorry.
No, it's all right.
That's been my week.
That's been your week. We went to up to London to see Lion King.
Oh, very nice. How was it?
It was good. The 3-year-old's first ever theatre trip.
Ooh.
Which was exciting.
Did she enjoy it?
Yeah, she did love it. But after every song finished, she went, is that the end? Like, out loud.
Yeah.
I was like, no.
We're all thinking it.
More. But it was so hot in there, Josh.
Hot.
It was so warm in the theatre.
In the theatre?
It's really warm. You know, and like, it's all a bit hot and sweaty, and the seats are all close. And then I love the show, but I fell asleep every time they started talking.
What? You fell asleep?
I fell asleep. When they're singing, I'm awake, but when they start talking, because it's all a bit, it's quite, like, Lion King's a great production, but it's quite magical and beautiful, but it's quite banter low. It's not like there's not a lot of opportunities for fun in Lion King. It's all like,
no.
It's all quite bleak about his dad and then the stampede and he gets
outcut.
And it's all a bit like, oh, and the land and we're the circle of light. There's not much cheeky, chappy banter. I know the Timon and Pumbaa come out, but they're carrying a lot.
Would it kill them to put in a bit of Bradley Walsh? Do you know what I mean?
Exactly. They did do a little Frozen joke, throwing a few, bit of shade on Elsa.
So did you actually fall asleep,
like,
Rob?
Yeah, but you know, like when you sat up, in my head, I could feel my head going. You know, I had like, and you feel like your head's about to snap off, like that. And then I got into a nice little groove of snooze, right? And I was asleep, and I was just going, and then out of nowhere. And I was like, and I woke up like I was in a plane crash, you know, and like.
You could barely listen to your John and Ellis podcast, could you?
I know, oh God. But it is great and I loved it, but I've seen it before and I was so tired because I played football the day earlier. I just started, shows had started up again. So I was just hot and tired. And it was like, you know, when it gets so warm and you just sort of slip off a little bit. And it was one of them ones when they're like, Also, I don't know what to look at in Lion King because they've all got like animal helmets on above their head.
So are they? They're people. Oh, yeah, I've seen the poster. So it's a guy with like a thing on top,
like a lion head on top of his head, but his face is sort of painted to look like a lion, sort of thing. But then I don't know whether I should be looking at their head or the helmet head.
Yeah, so I don't know. I went to see the X Factor musical, which was great. Did you see that? The Harry Hill X Factor.
Oh no, is it good?
Yeah, I really loved it. And but for the first half, there's a puppet in it, and the guy obviously is walking around with a puppet.
Yes.
And for the first 20 minutes, I didn't realise whether I was like, is this guy part of the cast, or are we meant to not know that he's there? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So I don't really know what I'm looking at, because if you sort of squint a little bit, it sort of it looks like an actual lion, like the way they move. It's a bit like cats like that. I think it'd be a better show if you've got glaucoma. Ultimately.
Edgar Davids would enjoy it.
If you have to wear wraparound goggles to play sport, this is your show. On the train up, though, it was quite funny. On the train up, we went through Hither Green, where I used to live with Lou, and we had like our first baby there for 6 months, and we moved out to Zone 5. And we was going through Hither Green. We went, oh, we used to live in Hither Green. And we said, and you used to live in Hither Green, didn't you? And the 5-year-old was like, did I? Went, yeah, you lived there for 6 months. And the 3-year-old was like, I lived here too. And was like, oh, no, you didn't live in. And then now she's screaming upset that we live somewhere without her, but I cannot accept that she wasn't born. And so she's getting really upset going, but I want to live in Hither Green. Why did you not let me live in Hither Green? And then the 5-year-old starts going, yeah, I loved Hither Green when I lived in Hither Green. Oh, like, you bitch. She was like, I loved it. I was like, you were 6 months. Oh, okay, what's your best bit about Hither Green? Give me one good thing about living in Hither Green. You've got nothing. You left after 6 months. They're getting a bit bored of each other. They play lovely, but because it's been some holidays, it's just been them, that they're getting a little bit like eggy with each other and a bit aggressive. Yeah. So we're having to keep an eye on it and fewer timeouts.
When you say something like that, that then the instant you say it, you know you've said the wrong thing.
Yeah.
Like you start, Matthew Crosby of this parish, as they say, he texted me that he was going out on Friday night to watch Supergrass in Crystal Palace Park. Okay, because it's 1997.
Yeah, I was going to say, good on him. Because that Shed 7 gig got cancelled, didn't it? So
the ticket's been held for quite a while. A lot of cancellations.
The Levellers supporting. Big gig that was.
And his daughter was up as he was leaving, his 2-year-old daughter, and she said, where are you going? And he said, I presumably thought he couldn't explain what a gig was. So he said, the park. And the instant he said the park.
Oh, she wants to go to the park.
She burst into tears because her dad was going to the park without her.
Oh, a nighttime park seems so exciting to a kid.
Yeah.
Oh, and no.
He basically left his wife dealing with a crying child while he went to watch a band that hadn't had a hit since 1998.
Lou did some of the greatest clutch pressure performance parenting I've ever seen, Josh.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll set the scene. Basically, the 3-year-old's in a nursery, really good nursery around the corner. However, it just does like 9 till 3, and Lou's starting to do a bit more voluntary work and teaching work. So we need a bit more flexibility. And I need a bit more flexibility with the... Because this nursery can do like 8 till 6 or something.
Oh, that's so what we've got, Rob.
If Lou has to work in the afternoon or if I get stuck somewhere, we've got a bit more flexibility and you can just sort of leave him there. Anyway, boring. But we're changing the nursery. So I was a bit worried about that because it's a new thing. And anyway, in the nursery, we took her there to have a little show around because she hasn't got like a stay and play until a couple of weeks or something. Just to sort of introduce the idea of mini school before she goes to proper school. Anyway, so we're doing it. They're playing in the garden. We get shown like the little garden area of a Wendy house, and then we get shown like the room and all that. And we're like, oh yeah, it's great. Chat. We're chatting to him. Anyway, we go, okay, well, thanks very much. We're going to go now. And the girls go, no, we don't want to go. We're having so much fun. And they go and hide in the Wendy house. And in front of like the nursery people, right, who are going to be looking after the kids. Yeah. And also at this stage, they can always go like, oh, actually, we don't want them to come. Do you know what I mean? They don't have to have the kids.
Yeah, you're on a probation. At least,
of course. You're on best behaviour. It's like meeting the in-laws, isn't it, when it's a new school nursery. So anyway, and also what Lou doesn't realise is I've just been talking to him in the Wendy house for ages going, get out now, don't embarrass me. And they go, no, Dad. Ah. So they're absolutely mugging me off, right? I'm going to count to three.
This is my worst nightmare. Yeah, my hands are going, Rob.
So I'm doing this, but the nursery people can't see me, right?
Yeah.
And then I just leave it. I basically just walk away. I just panic like a captain of a ship jumping off into the first lifeboat, right? So I just leave it. And then we sort of say goodbye to them. And Lou goes, oh, I'll just get them then. And in front of like three people from the nursery and me, Lou just goes over to the Wendy house and goes, come on, girls, we're going. And they go, no. And then Lou just,
oh my gosh,
it was like, oh my gosh. Like watching, you know, like the Stig on Top Gear when he just like does a handbrake turn and just like parks something, like, and it's just like, and they have the music playing. Lou just went, we're going now, I'm gonna count to three. One on one, they came out, and then Lou was swaggering like Conor McGregor.
How did she do that, Rob?
No idea, I've never seen anything. It was like a spell. It's like Jedi shit.
That is amazing,
and it was so, and but the pressure for that on that. It was next level pressure.
What would have happened if that was me is I'd have gone, counting to three. One, two, three. You've got to be out by 10, okay? So it's four, five.
10 three times. I'll count to 10 three times and then we're out. We're out of here. Sorry about this. It's a thing we do. But they don't listen, I panic and cry.
They're really good at counting, aren't they? Because look at the numbers they're getting me up to.
Yeah, look, 150 are on now. Look at this. You've got kids in your nursery that can count this high. But it was unbelievable. I was just like, this isn't going to happen. Lou's going to get very stressed at the end of this. That was funny. Really funny. We do some Instagrams.
Let's have some Instagrams, Rob.
Okay, let's have some Instagrams. I've got some great Instagram messages. We'll do small business shout out as well. Also, I'll mention Sean Locke as well. Poor old Sean passed away this week. Very sad in the world of comedy, and also cut through into sort of the mainstream as well, really. I know he was on the mainstream, but like you sort of forget how popular he was to a point because he wasn't on social media as such. You know?
He was genuinely, I thought, obviously it was really beautiful how much a response it got.
Yeah.
There's very few comics who you're excited to hear what they are going to say on everything. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, exactly. And I think it almost felt like, you know, we on a panel show, and he was like the master and we was all just apprentices, just fully aware of he knows exactly what to say, when to say, how to say it. And he's not really on his level. It's the way, you know, Arsenal footballers talk about playing with Dennis Bergkamp. It's like he was just a different level and he was just doing something that you couldn't really replicate. I remember when I had a black eye after playing football and I was backstage and I was trying to cover it up with makeup, but it wouldn't work. And it was a boring story. And he went, oh, what happened to your eye? I went, I've got it playing football, but I don't know what to say because I haven't really got a funny story. I went, but I could probably make something up, couldn't I? And then he went, oh, someone's learning. It really got it up. And the other, I tell you what, the other story I remember of Sean, which is like less backstage at a comedy gig type of story, was, did you go to that Prince Coco gig?
No, I did. Why didn't I go to that? Hillsy went with Nick Clegg.
Course he did. Right. So we're at Coco and Prince is on. And then I turn the corner and then Sean just turns up with his wife, Anushka, so happy and dancing, like properly dancing.
Oh, wow.
Because he was a decent dancer as well and loved dancing. Yeah. And they were properly going for it. I don't know how good he was, quality wise. He seemed good to me, but he was just loving life, dancing with his wife. And I thought, Sean Locke don't dance. What's going on? But I think that's what made him so good. You thought on paper he's a bit of a Mickey Flanagan geezery type guy, but he was so surreal and into different things. Definitely. And it was so sad. He was absolutely amazing. But I'm lucky to have worked with him, really. I met him.
Yeah, it's amazing. I remember the first time. So the first thing I ever did on TV was the Edinburgh Gala in 2010.
Yep.
And someone dropped out on the day, so I got put in. And I remember turning up. And I'd been put, it was me and Sean Locke in a dressing room.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a very quick, like, to me, it was the most scary kind of day in the world. And it was a very quick kind of introduction into how quickly you kind of adjust to these things.
Mm.
He just swanned in. I was like, you're not even going to get changed. He was like, no, I'm just going in this, couldn't care less. And he was like, scribbled a couple of things on his notepad and that was his set and he walked out. And I was watching the set the other day and it's just him. I mean this in the best possible way. One of the things I loved about Sean Locke, he didn't seem to give a shit if anyone laughed.
No.
If it made him laugh. And he's doing this act, which is just where he's doing impressions of Bernard Manning, where he does old school jokes. and then breaks into song. And he just, he did things that no other comedian would do, and he didn't give a shit in the best possible way.
Yeah, and he did it, and he did it with no, yet no, like, oh, look at me, actually, I'm doing something quite different here. Where some people like the idea of what kind of comedian they are rather than just doing comedy. And he would just go out and do something mental where other people would build such a whole sort of career and thing of like, oh, that's the person that does that thing. He'd do about 50 different things in a week of shows. And he had a real genius, like one of a kind type comedy mind. Where obviously, you know, like people are funny and do stuff, but you do start to notice people that think in a similar way of how comedians think. But I don't think there's many people that has a brain like his or had a brain like his that could just think like his mad stuff.
There's loads of clips going around, obviously. Lots of them are Countdown. But one of the ones that I always remember, and I've watched quite a load, is there's a one where he's on Big Fat Quiz of the Year.
Yeah.
And they do, you know that thing where the kids act out the news story?
Yeah, and they're crap at acting.
And he just goes into this rant about how shit the kids are at acting. And it's one of the funniest things. You're just like, the bravery of him was unbelievable.
Well, I think he did. You know what everyone does in the sort of slight private, but you think, oh, I can't actually say that on telly or say that on stage. He'd just do it, but in a way that wasn't really offensive. It was, there'll be those kids that watch that that will go, oh, I was one of the kids that he slagged off. Like in a positive way, as almost like a name drop type thing of like, you know those kids he said were shit acting? I was one of them.
Oh, it was amazing.
But yeah,
oh,
it's he so was brilliant. Sad.
You know, our thoughts with his
family. Yeah, of course.
So that's kind of what you think about a lot as well, isn't it, when these things happen?
Yeah, it's so sad, isn't it? But, you know, it's really horrible. Bless him. Right, now I've got to do a gear
now
change
you've got
into
to do
Instagram
a real
messages.
Gear change. This is a classic one show situation.
Okay,
Rob.
And now, you know, I was talking in the week about having a shit in front of your partner.
Well, I think that's the tribute Sean would want.
Yeah, exactly. Or we can go from that. This is good, actually. This is really funny. They're keeping it anonymous. Hi, Rob and Josh. Huge fan of the podcast. Have both your books on order. Good man.
Yeah.
Or woman, it's Anon.
Why not?
I regularly listen while I walk up and down the high street to get my 12-week-old to sleep. After listening to the Ellie Taylor episode, I thought I'd get in touch. My wife and I have been together 10 years and married for 2. Much like Ellie, we keep the mystique in the relationship and have never discussed toileted habits in front of each other for a decade. Earlier this week, I let out a fart. Quite a horrendous one, to be honest. My wife asked if it was me, to which I quickly denied and blamed it on our newborn.
Classic.
Yeah. The next day, my wife informs me she was so concerned about the smell of our newborn's fart that she had already spoken to the doctor and had a blood test booked to check everything was okay.
I think the wife's playing a game here, right? Surely.
No, she's booked it. Well, no, because if he's genuinely awful, and like sewerage, and it's from a newborn, you must think, this baby must be allergic to the milk, or have I given it something that it's allergic to?
Something is
compromising the stomach of this child if that smell came from it.
Oh, my God. This is a proper Larry David Kirby enthusiasm.
This is great.
Situation.
But then, I feel horrendous and now I have to come clean, destroying the mystique in our relationship to avoid my 12-week-old having an unnecessary blood test. I hope you are listening. I think they may be coming clean now.
What?
Here, not
no! That is unbelievable.
I think that might be what has happened.
No. Well, there's only one way for the wife to respond, and that is next week via email.
Yes, that'd be great. I've got loads more too. I'll do a couple more, and then...
So has that person done it anonymously?
But then you'd know if you listen to this and you've booked a blood test for your baby after an awful fart.
But do double check that it's definitely that person, because what we don't want is a cancelled blood test from a baby that does have a bad stomach.
Look, if your baby's shit stinks, just get a blood test just in case.
Yeah.
All right, I'll give another one before we do small business shout outs. There's a couple of good ones here. This is good. You know, we asked for things that you've said that... like make you sound like your parents. So I said to my kids, that chairs are for sitting on, for standing on. You know, like, this is a great one we got here. So this is from Nicholas. Hi, Rob and Josh. As a child of the 80s, I'm sure that my parents would make up things not to do as it would affect me in later life. Here are some things I've nearly said to my children from my childhood. Don't sit too close to the TV. You'll get square eyes.
Yeah.
That's not true, is it?
No, it's not true.
Don't sit too close to the fire or you'll get chilblains. I think this is a little
chilblains
harsh.
Were a big deal when I was a kid.
Yeah, I've not heard
chilblains.
Yeah, I've not heard of chilblains since didn't Brian Connolly used to do it in his set? And like chill blinds for children.
Oh, right. Well, I haven't thought about a chill blind since kind of the 90s.
Well, you've not been set in front of fires, have you?
No, I haven't. But I thought it was cold then. I thought it was like cold then hot. And you used to get them on your toes. And I liked them, Rob.
You like chill? I mean, you're from Devon. It was probably like a high.
I enjoyed a chill blaine, Rob. You got to get your thrills where you can.
I love the chill blaine. I've not heard of chill blaines.
Have you heard of chill blaine recently? Do email in.
So chill blaines are small itchy swellings in the skin that occur as a reaction to cold temperatures. So,
but it was that pleasure pain thing, Rob. It was nice to squeeze a chill blaine.
Don't sit too close to the fire, you'll get chill. But then if you're by the fire, is that the most often affect the body's extremities?
It was the toes, wasn't it?
It was the toes.
The little toe being a chill blaine. Oh, glorious.
Don't come running to me if you break your leg. Absolute classic.
Yeah, nice.
Stop crying or I'll give you something else to cry about.
Well, that's a bit much.
A bit harsh, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're right, Nicholas. Is this a cry for help? You better wipe that look off your face. Oh, my God. Where did you grow up, Nicholas?
Oh, you grew up in Borstal, by the way.
It's like a nunnery in Ireland 100 years ago. If the wind changes, your face will stay like that. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And do you think you are Jesus? No, well, shut the door. You were not born in a barn. Right. I've got a lot of issues with that. He was born in a stable.
It's a stable.
He's got his lines mixed up.
Do you think you're Jesus is a real strong opening conversational gambit?
Imagine
as well.
That. Actually, yes.
Yes, I do.
And watch this. And you just walk across the bar.
My friend's parents used to say, when we'd go out to the town nearby, if you didn't like hold their hand at the road, she'd say, "Hold my hand if you don't want me to take you home to your parents in a paper bag."
Oh,
which was always felt quite a vivid.
Yeah, that's quite brutal.
Yeah, I don't think it's how it would have played out. Obviously,
my mum used to go, if you were like playing the garden with no pants on, we go, "Put that away, put your willy away, or the dicky bird will come and get it." Like, what a horrific thing to tell a child that there's these pedo nonce birds swooping in to bite off a kid's dick. That's horrendous. When you think about what you're suggesting exists in your street, is that this bird's going to come down and nibble your knob off. Peck the pecker. This one's a good one. This one, Susie, two little birdies. I can't believe it. Why is it two little birds? That's weird. I must have half seen that while I did my little pecker line. Now, parent sands, my seven-year-old was walking home from school with her jacket hanging off one shoulder, and I somehow found myself saying, "I didn't pay full price for that jacket for you to wear half of it."
Oh, that's a proper bit of parenting.
Yeah, who cares? How cold's that shoulder? Why do they get involved, parents like
that? That's the kind of thing that you get involved in and then you think, is this really an issue? Is this some problem I've got myself? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like me making my peace when my daughter doesn't like wearing trainers.
Yes.
That's just it.
So what does she wear? She likes boots and sandals.
She wears wellies or the jellies. The jelly sandals.
Wellies or the jellies.
Wellies. You go, in the morning, is it a wellies day or a jellies day?
So she wore wellies at all times. But wellies are easy, comfortable. She might not want them tight.
She wears a dress and wellies. She mainly looks like she's just passed her GCSEs and she's going to festival.
Wellies to nursery?
Yeah.
Does she?
Yeah.
Oh, that's something really made me laugh.
Rob, I've lost. I just can't.
You really want her to wear a pair of Converse, didn't you? I can tell.
Yeah. Do you know what, Rob? I bought her a pair of Nikes. She didn't give a fucking shit, mate.
Oh, no. I've
sat her through the last dance to try and get it through to her, but she doesn't
care.
That's
a long watch for a four-year-old.
Yeah, she thought Scottie Pippen deserved a better contract, but apart from that, she didn't come out with any interest in it. Train us.
Right. Okay, let me find this. I've got a real hipster small business here. Hi, Josh and Rob. First up, thanks a ton for the moral support. We had our first baby, Imogen Immy, at the beginning of the original lockdown, and your last kept us going through the seemingly endless park walks. We absolutely would love a shout out for our small business. Me and my husband, Tom, we're the first UK sake brewery.
Oh, yes.
We're based in Peckham, so I'd love to pour you and your thirsty parent listeners a glass of the fresh stuff, and you can follow them.
I've never had sake.
It's sort of like Japanese. It's a Japanese
spirit. Rice, isn't it? Rice spirit.
Oh, is it a rice spirit?
I think so.
Okay, well, they're doing it, mate. That. And it's called Canpie, K-A-N-P-A-I. So it's Canpie London, at Canpie London, K-A-N-P-A-I London, and canpie.london. Is that a website, .london?
.London, wow. That can't be it.
They've got a tap room, bar and kitchen opening Wednesday and Thursday, 5 till 10, Friday, 5 till 11. Yeah. Oh, so it's a proper like sharp. I thought they were just busting it
out. Just thought they were just making a bit of sake in their living room.
Yeah, well done. Good on. I mean, it is still a small business, but they've got a proper. You can actually go to Peckham and have some sake. I mean,
oh mate, this is talking my stiff neck. Oh,
you're
language,
so
mate.
Stiff. Your neck's so stiff. Look, of course he's got long hair and a beard, Tom. I've seen Tom on his Insta. He's an hipster.
Oh, yes, please.
You can't,
I tell you what.
Go on.
Went through the presents my daughter got at her party last week, Rob.
Oh, yeah.
It was the most, I mean.
Can I guess?
She loved them. She loved them. I would say.
Canvas. And I'll be honest, canvas.
I loved them, Rob, but it was a stiff neck bunch of East London presents.
Was it?
And no mistake.
All wood, no plastic.
Well, yeah. Do you want to have a guess? There was one plastic present, which was frozen based.
Was it the microphone that sings?
No, it was a series. It was a frozen hairbrush, hair bands, all the hair stuff for Frozen.
Okay. Fair enough. And what were the other ones?
Just lovely, like art boxes, gardening stuff.
Of course.
Those
slug pellets.
Slug pellets, yeah. Oh, mate, don't talk to me about slugs. It's all happening. Oh, let's not go into it, Rob.
About slugs. I want to know about your slugs.
Well, it's just the weather for it, isn't it? All this slight rain. The slugs fucking love it.
You got a lot of slugs then?
We've got a few. I'll be honest with you, Rob.
Yeah.
A month ago, I said to myself, you know, I've made the peace with the trainers.
Yeah.
I said, I'm too busy. I've made my peace. This summer, the garden is going to shit. I don't care anymore. I'm not doing any more towards the garden this summer. It's too late.
Just let it go. Let the slugs have it for a year and then come in hard next year.
And the slugs have taken it. Rob, it's like I've left the garden. It's like Afghanistan. The slugs have come and taken it.
Really?
It's unbelievable.
You just can't.
My retreat has absolutely led to the bad guys taking over again.
You've had a howler.
I've done a Joe Biden, mate.
Pulled out
it's a
too
disaster.
Early. Too fast, too early.
Exactly. I should have left some trees.
Well, yeah, leave it and then go back for it next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
What's your small business?
Small business.
Yes, please, come on.
Okay. I always try not to do the top one, but it's a good one.
Okay.
So, hi, Rob and Josh. I run a very unique charity here in the UK where we send pens and pencils to kids in Africa that can't afford them.
Oh.
We've sent over 1 million in the last 10 years and hopefully long may that... See that pause I did there, Rob?
Mm. What was that?
And then I retook it.
Yeah.
That's in there.
That's
because
different.
I know any fuck up of reading now and I will just go back and retake it.
Good, you've learned.
I won't accept a stumble anymore, Rob.
No, you will not accept a stumble. You are clean for the edit. So do they send paper as well to Africa or just the pens?
They've already got paper, Rob.
They've already got paper.
That's a different charity. This is www.pensforkids.co.uk. Yeah, you should. Paper for kids and pens for kids. But pensforkids.co.uk. Take care. Cheers, Chris. Thank you for listening, everyone.
No, thank you very much. And
did you enjoy Take Care, Cheers, Chris?
Really, really enjoyed it. I thought you were delivering that to the audience. I didn't know you were still reading the email. I thought that was the end. Thank you.
Sorry, you thought that's how I was ending the
show. Yeah, and then Chris threw me. If you'd said Josh there, I would have just shut up and assumed that we'd stopped.
Imagine if I just decided to end. It's pensforkids.co.uk. Take care, cheers, Josh. Bye.
God, he's so ruthless after the audiobook.
Stop pissing around.
He's had 50 minutes sleep. We spent longer talking about our fucking kids than you have sleeping today.
Oh, God.
Oh, see you on Friday. I've got loads of good Instagrams. We'll go through them on Friday.
All right, good. See you then. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, I'm Sean Walsh.
And I'm Paul McCaffrey.
And we're here to tell you that our podcast, What's Upset You Now, is back for a brand new series.
Now, I know what you're thinking. Do I have time in my life for another comedian-hosted podcast with my busy schedule?
Well, in most cases, no. But here's why What's Upset You Now is different.
Each week, we ask ourselves and a guest, what's upset you now? And we spend exactly 15 minutes discussing and ranting about the frustrations and idiocies of everyday life.
Anything from a bus driver wanting the exact change
to those people doing yoga in the park.
And quite often, just simply each other.
Yeah, it's basically anything and everyone.
It's the podcast equivalent of being in the pub with your two funny mates, putting the world to rights.
Yeah, at 2 a.m, so do expect shouting.
Listen to What's Upset You Now, available on all podcast platforms.